Sometimes, man, I don't blame you. I said, listen, I've traveled every road in
Taylor's going to be joining us in a minute, but I do know that I think there was some interest on the social media platforms out there about tonight's topic. So we're going to go ahead and start and chat a little bit, and then when Taylor comes on, we'll just rope him in. We've got two of our returning champions, good friends, super smart and wise and funny people. Jenna, do you want to say hi and a little bit about yourself?
Hello, everybody. Good to be back. I think it's been a while. My name is Jenna Henry. I'm the deputy, currently the deputy director of Better, an organization called Better PA. We are working a lot around democracy defense, particularly right now. We're gearing up to push back against the Republicans legislating through constitutional amendment here in Pennsylvania. They have introduced over 70 potential amendments to our Constitution because they are trying to bypass the governor's veto pen. So since they can't get anything past the governor or get a three-fourth majority to override the governor, they are now just shredding our Constitution with all kinds of absolutely dangerous things that we need to make sure that voters are aware of how dangerous these things are whenever they potentially show up on the ballot. So that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
I feel like the constitutional amendments in recent history in Pennsylvania is like the worst kind of whack-a-mole experience that we could have, right? Because like, or maybe even like a trapdoor spiders, because in whack-a-mole, at least, you're playing a game. With the trapdoor spider, it's just like, oh my God, here's this horrible thing. Yeah, go ahead, Dana.
Yeah. I mean, at first it very much was like the trapdoor of spiders, like, oh, what is happening? But now we've kind of figured out what game they're playing, and it's becoming more like whack-a-mole, just trying to beat down these individual amendments. I mean, it's everything. I mean, they're trying to do, everything from, put a voter ID requirement in the Constitution. They're trying to abolish the LRC because they are so mad that, Mark Nordenberg wouldn't allow them to gerrymander our maps. And now the maps only slightly favor Republicans instead of, favoring them in a supermajority. So they're, now they want to just abolish the LRC entirely. It's bananas.
Yeah, for sure. Is there like a one place where people could go, Better PA or somewhere else, that is like presents this or it sort of makes it like digestible? Because I feel like sometimes this constitutional amendment stuff is not easy to find the news.
And that's part of what we're working on. Because currently, no, it's a lengthy process. You can get really far into the weeds, just like trying to understand how the process works and like what actually has to be done. And so that is a lot of what we are currently working on right now, is building the messaging infrastructure to be able to like really explain this to people on a basic level.
Cool.
But once that, once we do have that information aggregated in one place, I will let you know.
Awesome. I'll throw it to Terrain.
Hello, I am Terrain Myricks. I am a podcast host. I host a podcast called Alcoholitics, where we have drinks and chat about politics and sometimes Netflix reality shows. I can't really follow that because I'm not working on something that important. I cannot say that I have done the work for something that important, but
it's mostly hot goss in Central PA.
I'll tell you what though. I know this isn't the forum, but it is very important right now to say that Natalie should not end up with Shane. She should really walk away from that wedding. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch Love is Blind. You need to do it immediately. It is one of the greatest television shows I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not kidding at all about that.
I mean, so, I hope we have a possibility to talk about Lexi's play in this, on this show. Is anybody following?
I have no, Jenna, I have no idea what they're talking about. Right? What?
I'm not a pop culture person. I mean, if we want
to... She's out there fighting for democracy.
The closest thing to gossip I got is like Harrisburg rumors about legislators. Like,
That is a podcast that needs super.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a fun podcast.
Sure. Something that happened today that totally threw off our podcasting game. Congressional maps approved. What? Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. The map. Yeah, I'm not really... Well, actually, I was about to say I'm not ready to talk about that. Except that I could say
one you want to talk about some hot goss, Fred Keller.
Okay, but yeah. hold on. So wait, what's the hot goss? Say it again. You stepped on it. I stepped on you,
Fred. I mean, so we're down one congressional district, right? I mean, and Jenna, you know this better than anybody. So
yeah. So I actually have the privilege of living in Center County. So for a very long time, Glenn Thompson was our representative. And then in 2018, I ended up with Fred Keller. Now they have to battle it out in the Republican primary for the massive 15th district in the middle of the state that really pretty much might as well encompass parts of New York.
But we're Union and Snyder County are like just the like far east, southeast corner of it. And like, it seems to me that like 75% of it is or more is GT's district, and Fred Keller basically just got a small little corner.
Yeah,
and that's most of it's new train for him. So it seems to me like he's definitely going to lose that primary unless GT backs out. Which
doesn't. I don't know. I'm not actually sure about that. I think I can only speak for Center County. I know in Center County they like Fred Keller more than they like Glenn Thompson. Because he's like a little more crazy and a little more Trumpy. Glenn Thompson has just kind of been sitting around collecting a paycheck for a long time. Like he's not, and he doesn't like to work. I'm not making bets on that one. I'm not sure.
All right.
It's definitely probably a good, like a dipstick into, how much crazy there is in the Republican primary. Like, because I think you framed it really well, Glenn versus Fred.
How ardently did they back the insurrection?
Yeah. And Union County, where Taylor and I hail from, is, gone from being like the lower left ass end of a district to the lower right ass end of a district. pretty much, right, Taylor? Still happy to be the ass end of somewhere.
Well, we were going to be the top of a Harrisburg district, which seemed weird to me.
I honestly, I like this better, and it's kind of cool because now Jenna and I have even more reasons to like collaborate and.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it may shift some kind of like a lot of my political orientation has been towards the Northeast more partly because of the congressional district. So it might be interesting if media markets.
We've had a lot of congressional changes in the last few years. It always kind of feels like a new fan. You know, who are we in a coalition with now?
That's right. It's like, I was going to say, it's like going to a wedding and like, who's at my table. That may be one of my worst analogies ever.
Well, you are known for bad analogies. So
yeah. I mean, they go over like a flight of geese in handcuffs. I mean, they're really terrible. did everybody introduce themselves? Train? No, listen, I wanted to say, no, but it's cool. Like, it's cool to have somebody who has a, a real day job and is, a normal citizen, who comes on. Like, I think that's valuable. You know, too much content out there is sort of insiders talking to insiders. So,
yeah, I mean, I it's not like I don't, unfortunately, I do like consume this stuff constantly, even though, it's easier to like look away, but I find it all fascinating still. So, stay tuned for Alcoholitics this weekend, where we sit and talk about the monetary arms race between McCormick and Oz. I can't tell you how often I am waiting for Jeopardy to come on, and I see a really ridiculously funny commercial with Dr. Oz dancing with Michelle Obama, and that's the bad part of the commercial. Like, that's the bad thing he did. He danced with Michelle Obama, and he believes trans people exist, and whoa, like that's the negative part in the commercial. It's wild. I'm really excited to talk about all this.
You guys know that meme of the people throwing money at the lobsters fighting? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
No, okay. It basically feels like a billionaire fight right now.
It is.
Who can mm-hmm. throw the most money at it?
Mm-hmm.
That pregnant pause is probably Taylor reading me telling him to start the game because we're behind schedule.
Oh, yeah. I should introduce myself, though. I'm Taylor Lightman, and I used to work in politics, and now I do neighborhood revitalization stuff. Co-host here. Okay. Game. Okay. This game is...
Do you need a moment to sort of decompress from your day? Because
No, I don't. I don't. It's called Who Tweeted It? And never mind. Bad joke. So anyway, we've actually played it before. So basically I'm gonna say the tweet and give you four choices about who tweeted it. And we've actually played this game before. This is one from a while ago. So I don't remember who was on, but I apologize to longtime listeners. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
And you got to keep track of your own score because it's too much for me to handle.
Wait, we need a patron to buy an electric scoreboard for us.
Yeah. And folks can always give at a, on Patreon, go to barnstormpeta.org, sponsor the scoreboard. So, quote, shut down government schools and put schools in churches and synagogues, end quote. Who said it? Was it A, David Rowe, B, Sean Parnell, C, Donald Trump, or D, Josh Mandel?
I don't know who Josh Mandel is. Am I supposed to?
He's running for senator in Ohio. Should. Is that right?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Are these recent or is this like, because if it's recent, we know we can eliminate one of the answers.
It's not. I made this game like a few months ago.
All right.
So
I got my.
It's not recent.
I got my guess.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
I'm going to say David Rowe. I've played this game. Yeah, I'm not remembering.
I put them in synagogues. Like, it sounds like something Trump would say. So I'm just going to say that. I'm going to say it was Trump.
Sean Parnell.
Okay. Jordy?
I said Rowe.
Oh, okay. You're all wrong. It was Josh Mandel. Let me see if I have some... some context. Nope, that's all. It was just a tweet. I think no context. Yeah, I think that was the whole tweet.
And, he's just trying to out bananas JD Vance right now, so he'll say whatever.
Yeah, he'll say whatever. Yeah, this is another one of those like billionaires, going at it. Although I'm not sure Josh Mandel's a billionaire, but
I don't.
Okay, so nil all around. Quote: a masked child is an abused child. End quote. Was it Sean Parnell, J.D. Vance, Russ Diamond, or your uncle that lives in Potter County?
I mean, probably definitely the last one, but that was for sure Russ Diamond.
I'm going to also go with Russ Diamond.
I'm going to follow. Russ Diamond. Russ Diamond.
Cool.
Are you going to tell us the answer?
I'm getting a little bit back right now. It's not something I did.
You sound like you're underwater a little bit.
Yeah, we lost you for a sec.
Okay, can you hear me now?
That's better.
Okay, yeah, it was definitely Russ Diamond.
That one, I don't know that one anywhere.
Masked child is an abused child. Cool, man.
That's interesting because a dead child is dead.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Whoa.
So who guessed Russ Diamond? Jenna, you did, right?
Oh, yeah, I think we all did.
We all did because...
Sorry, I was playing around with my audio settings for a second.
Jenna, you were very confident, so I piggybacked immediately.
Yeah. Okay, quote, "I'm a black gay guy, and I can personally say that Obama did nothing for me," mm-hmm. which is a weird sentence. "My life only changed a little bit, and it was for the worse. Everything is so much better under Trump, though. I feel respected, which I never do when Democrats are involved." Was that Doug Mastriano, Sean Parnell, Dean Browning, or Lil Nas X?
I know it, but I'm not going to say it first because I'm very confident and I want to win this game.
Well, I think it's kind of a gimme, isn't it? Isn't there only one black gay?
Answer the question. Don't give him any context. Answer the question.
Lil Nas.
It's Dean Browning. He pretended he blackfished everybody and then got caught because he then tweeted from his regular account.
Yeah,
he did tweet it from his.
I remember that happening. It was a white guy that did it.
And he was running for.
I thought it was that name.
He was running for Congress, not just any old politician. So yeah, we're getting a comment. Hell yeah, Terrain.
Oh
so,
yeah. Yeah, this is from Juwanbok. I think Terrain always brings his posse. It's great.
I do. I make sure to have people in the, like, I try to stack the deck for me for episodes.
It's because you've been so mistreated by us.
Yeah. I gotta make sure I get people on my side.
So, also, I think the funniest thing about this was that after he basically, was caught for tweeting that from his regular account, he tweeted, quote, "Regarding the tweet that is going viral from my account, I was quoting a message that I received earlier this week from a follower. Sorry if context was not clear. Trump received minority votes and record LGBTQ votes. Many people won't say it vocally, but do in private."
Please correct me if I'm wrong, but there was one more wrinkle to this, which was, I'm pretty positive he hired someone to put out a video saying that that was that person's tweet, and that person was related to, was it Dionne Warwick? I'm trying to remember specifically who that
Patti
person
LaBelle.
Was related to. Patti LaBelle, thank you. Legitimately, this story has so many layers. It's amazing.
Yeah. It should be a Netflix show.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
It could be,
I'd watch it.
I would watch it too. So did you call that brown fishing, Terrain?
I called it brown fishing.
Black fishing.
It's when you pretend to be somebody else online.
Yeah. It's digital blackface or blackfishing. Call it what you'd like, but that's what it is. He's 100% trying to pretend to be a person of color to get other people of color to follow his nonsense.
Yeah. Okay. One more here. And I think Jenna, did you get that one right?
Yeah.
Okay. So
we know I'm last.
Two and one. Jordy's losing. So the last one here.
But I'm learning. I'm learning, and I'm appreciative.
You know, if you learn something, you're ahead, as far as I'm concerned. And this is, this is actually on Facebook. So, who tweeted it? Who Facebooked it? Okay. Quote. "We are storming the Capitol. Our vanguard has broken through the barricades. We will save this nation. Are you with me?" Was that Sean Parnell, Doug Mastriano, Lou Barletta, or Rick Saccone?
Mastriano.
That one was Saccone, wasn't it? I think it was Saccone.
I'm not piggybacking this. I swear, I thought it was either Mastriano or Saccone, and I believe.
Yeah.
Well, they were like together,
right?
It's a strange thing,
Right, but I think it was Saccone because I don't think. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, it was Saccone, and the full quote is, "We are in front of the U.S. Capitol. Hundreds of thousands of people storming the Capitol. They broke down the gates. They're macing them up here. We're trying to run out all the evil people in there, all the rhinos that have betrayed our president. We are going to run them out of their offices." Saccone said in a video, We're calling on Vice President Pence to support our president. I'm telling you, there are hundreds of thousands of people here to support, which is not true. Our president and save the nation. Are you with me? And then later, he said he didn't mean literally storming the Capitol.
figuratively storming the Capitol. Storming the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. You know how sometimes when you say exactly the thing that you're doing, you didn't mean that?
Right, yeah.
Is that kind of like how Putin is only figuratively placing troops someplace they shouldn't be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, hang Mike Pence is just another expression.
Look, we're not recording a podcast. We're recording a podcast. It's
yeah.
You guys get it?
You know, on John Lovett's show, he said, you know, God, it's so hot out. I could hang Mike Pence. Hang <on. Yeah>. And I think that's a great, you know, proved his point.
I mean, a capense could be a thing. Like, I need to hang my capense. Like, what is a capense, though? I don't know.
You can't make something up and then throw it to us to tell you what it is. Hey, what's a capense?
My show, my rules.
I just made this up. Could you guys explain this to me right now? Yeah.
I'm going to work on it. I actually
It's a Frisian garment, special to Northern Italy.
Yeah, yeah. And also parts of Northumberland County where they make soupies, which is a kind of sopressata. They also have capenses. Yeah. They put on the capense and then they go make a soupie. That's a thing smoking.
I don't think I have a tiebreaker. So we're just gonna have to live with
I'll take the tie.
So socialist game maker strikes again. I would love Jen and Terrain.
Unless you have one up your sleeve, Jordy.
No, I don't. But I would love some feedback. And this is like sort of a segue. We do actually have t-shirts now that people can get from our website. It has our logo and we're experimenting with like transparent pricing. So we're just telling everybody they're $28 or $29, and a third of that we price so that a third goes to support the show. The base costs are a little higher because it's print on demand, but that actually has an environmental upside because then we're not printing a lot of potential waste.
500 Barnstrom.
Yeah, right. So but we had this other idea, and I'm just curious what you all think. We were thinking that like we could ask somebody to design like a t-shirt that would have like the shaman, the QAnon shaman guy, like his head like mounted like you would put a deer on a wall. But then somebody told me that's like too politically violent. So if they're hanging Mike Pence, are we being too provocative if we do that, or what do you all think?
Do you want to take this one?
Taylor's about to fire me from the show.
I mean,
it's pretty funny.
Look, I'm going to say this. I can understand it is probably super funny. And you're like people who like know you and your humor will be like, that's really funny. I feel like if you're mounting someone's head in a photograph,
that's too violent. Yeah,
that's violent. Kind of like a kind of no.
Yeah, I think not.
The message gets Jordy, lost sometimes because we have all they do is
throw around ideas, and that
the message
mean that
gets
they,
lost. I think.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out a way to somehow make it like clear that it's like not like I don't know like a line. Yeah, like a line through it, and then like people for the ethical treatment of insurrectionists, like petty underneath. I don't know. Like this is probably why product pitches is not a good podcasting theme.
No, let's move on.
Welcome to the new show. Welcome to Is This a Shirt with Jordy and Taylor, where we come on and we talk to you about what potentially is and is not a shirt.
Listen, I do think our shirts are pretty cool, though. I will say that. And Taylor, you want to plug the shirts?
No, we're not ready yet. You should hear some of our other ideas.
you really shouldn't. Should we still do headlines or should we jump to Kenyatta?
I think we should do quick headlines, but okay. we should really be
way quicker than the game that you told me would be quick. So this is something
the game was quick.
Okay. Listen, I'm not going to do this right now with you. Okay. So everybody knows how the headlines work, right? So your own headline, I had encouraged people, if they had a chance to see it, to maybe touch on something that's like not the most dominant news story, but of course, whatever you want. I have one. I can go first, unless somebody else is dying to. Yeah, okay. So Summer Lee frozen out of her district by backstabbing Democrats. So if people don't know Summer Lee, I don't know her real well. So if other people know more, but generally I think she's a little bit in kind of the mold of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or Ayanna Pressley. She came to the state house in Harrisburg in 2018 in a big wave of bringing in new voices and new faces. She's an African-American woman from Allegheny County, Pittsburgh area. And has been a real fierce advocate for great policy and for what democracy should be. In 2020, the Allegheny County Democratic Committee, the county committee, did not endorse an incumbent. And like, I'm not an expert on the history of Allegheny County Democratic endorsements, but I suspect not endorsing an incumbent is pretty unusual. And I saw this today on the new maps that like in Allegheny County, there's only one municipality that's split, and then within that are some precincts that are split. So that's like, if where you go to vote, you know, that place is a precinct. So it's been split. So that all of that was done to apparently draw her out of her current district and put her into a harder to win district. So, you know, this is one of these things where we just see the maps. We never get a record of whatever conversations happen on the inside of the room. I think that's right, Jenna, right? Like, this is what comes out of that committee meeting. But, you know, it just looks like somebody really, really shipped her. And I hope she wins and kicks their ass and proves them wrong, because that would be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think that seat is a little bit harder for a Democrat to win, but not by that much. I think it's still a very likely Democratic seat.
D+1, right?
It's more than that, even. I mean, it's a likely Democratic seat. I don't have the exact percentages. I haven't had a chance to dig through the data yet. I mean, I don't think people should be too quick to like count her out in that other district.
I'm not counting her out. I just was more about the process.
It's definitely a little like, if you look at the way they brought the map down, like they literally like swoop the district, like swoops down, scoops up her house, and then like goes back up and like makes like this weird thing like right around her block. And it does look, look pretty shady, not going to lie, but and the crazy thing about that is that this is the map that came out of the PA Supreme Court. This isn't a map that was drawn by legislators. So yeah, that's a kind of a whole can of worms.
Sorry, I'm trying to get to it. Oh, here we go. So can you all see that?
Yeah, this little hook. She lives in this little like the like, I guess, what is that, lighter green? Yeah, like right there where you are. Her house is like right in there.
I'd be pretty upset too.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you know, the map can be good. A map can be better overall, but still. You know, the edges always matter. So I hear what you're saying, Jenna. I mean, that, you know, overall, maybe even that district score is okay. But when you look at those little edges, it's like, come on, what's going on here? So anyway, that's my headline. Summer Lee frozen out by gerrymandering.
I can go if that's okay. I would say, I guess my headline, mine's a little bit old, but it is, PA Democratic Party will allow voters to choose Senate candidate, but just barely. very, very close in the PA Democratic Party in choosing a Senate candidate, when it would best be left up to, you know, the Democratic voters to choose who their Senate candidate is, and not have an unnecessary, like, this isn't a situation where it's like, you know, like, Dan Lipinski versus Marie Newman. This isn't a like conservative, like this isn't, you know, that sort of situation. It is, you know, there's a healthy primary that's going on, and the Democratic Party should butt out and let the candidates, you know, let the candidates make their pitch.
I mean, I guess nobody won, but like who?
Nobody won, but there it was. I think it was like about 20-ish votes off of them endorsing Connor Lamb.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We should talk about this in the next segment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where does one even hear about that? Was it even in a newspaper article?
If you follow, there is a great Inquirer reporter who talks PA, who talks, I believe her name is Julie Tura. My goodness, I wish I can remember it. Give me a second, I'm pulling it up. She had the information of the specific Count Taruso, Julia Taruso. She had posted about the specific vote count and how, you know, Connor Lamb was like pretty close to getting the endorsement, but not close enough. That's my headline.
That's a great one.
Jenna, you want?
I mean, so if I just get to make up a headline, the thing that I keep telling everybody, and I guess it kind of helps us move into the next segment as well. Like, Democrats cannot win statewide when Black Philly stays home.
That is factual.
Okay. Yeah, that is factual, as evidenced by many, many elections. Mine is original headline. I thought of it today.
They're supposed to be original. That's like saying I'm playing Monopoly with a little icon.
Yeah, no, it's original. Wow. I thought of it today. Just let me know what you think.
I already have.
War is over if you want it. You know, I think it's a, you know, I thought of that and, you know, I think it speaks to, I was talking with somebody today that is like who I really respect, and she was saying, you know, all wars are fought and then they're negotiated. There's no reason why we can't just negotiate now. And I know this isn't exactly, you know, this is definitely front page news, but war is awful. War is hell, in fact. And it just, it's awful, the situation going on right now. And I wish that it could be resolved peacefully. So that's my headline.
You know, I got started when I was like 18. One of the first things I did in terms of like being very engaged and active was against the first Gulf War. I've been reflecting some about how, like, I mean, I agree with everything you said, Taylor, and I'm also just like my time commitments are about like what we can do, like sort of locally and regionally and in our place. And so one thing for me is like, I feel like Biden's probably, and I'm not an expert in this, but I feel like he's probably doing about the best he could, right? Like there's no good way here. It's going to be, you know, there's this stupidity of saying it wasn't an invasion when obviously it was, but if that's part of like getting to a diplomatic solution, that's fine. Zelensky, he's not great, but at least the Ukrainians voted like 98% for their own country right after the Soviet Union collapsed. I don't know if people saw the Kenyan diplomat to the UN. Did people see this? So Kenya has one of the rotating seats on the Security Council at the UN, and he gave this speech. I saw about 3 minutes of it, and it was great. And he was basically like, look, in Africa, we're all born of the embers, the dying embers of empires. And there are many places in Africa, almost every set of borders were drawn to divide up people who are historically connected. And instead of trying to fix all of that and have perpetual war, we all said, look, we're just going to live with these borders and make it work so that we can work in the larger continental framework, regional framework towards, you know, human rights and prosperity for everybody. And we need to stop having wars, you know, that are justified, you know, from, I think he used the phrase, the dying embers of empires. And I was like, he was like such the right person at the right time to say that, you know, people should check that out.
I will.
Okay. The case for Malcolm Kenyatta.
Are you throwing it to somebody?
I'm throwing it to you, Turing.
Because okay, I was just gonna say, I swear you said earlier this is my show, so I was like, all right, man.
I think I was quoting you.
You might have actually. I 100% probably yelled that at you on my show.
and I will 100% say completely justified.
I mean, just to start with, you know, like one of the things that, and this is, I'm speaking like legitimately for me as a, as an individual, I'm not speaking for anybody in this, like a group of people, but like one of the things I find like the most important for who's going to be the senator of PA is who is going to back progressive change in the country. You know, like I am looking at who is going to come out with the values specifically that we are looking for. Who's going to do something to try to address climate change? Who's going to do something to try to address healthcare? I think that when you look at like the things that Malcolm Kenyatta talks about, and like what he, you know, his policy positions on these specifics, he's set to be an incredibly progressive senator that we need, because we're looking at like a stalled package for Build Back Better that is being held up by, you know, not just mostly the Republican Party, but also
50 Republicans and two Democrats,
just two middle, like centrist Democrats. And like I think that, you know, if you voted for Joe Biden to go in and get these things done, to get this package passed, look who his allies are. His allies are progressive senators and progressive House members. Like, if I told you, like, you know who's backing Joe Biden in this moment, AOC and Ayanna Pressley, you'd laugh me out of a room during the Democratic primary. But that's where we're at. We need these people. We need like progressive people to come in and actually pass the change that has been promised. We keep getting promised things in elections, and they're not being delivered. And like, I know that like everyone, I just think it's really important to get the things that we promised delivered. And that I think you don't get that with you know, candidates who don't necessarily want to get all of that delivered. If you start your negotiation from from closer to the middle, you might not get what you wanted.
I say that all the time. You know, when you start at compromise, you have nowhere left to go. Mm-hmm. Like the Democratic Party keeps moving further and further to the right to try and court this mythical swing voter in the middle. They're just becoming Republicans, essentially. They're just voting with, we literally have two Democrats holding up progress because they're voting with Republicans constantly.
And just to throw in my two cents here, and I mean, I should say, just to, for anybody that's not really aware of this primary, there's it's a little bit of a crowded primary. John Fetterman and Connor Lamb are running, and so is Malcolm Kenyatta, and I think there's probably a few more candidates that are not seen as serious contenders. And I think you make, y'all both make like a really good point about like, he is progressive. Like Malcolm Kenyatta is probably the most progressive person there. Then John Fetterman's probably going to be pretty progressive too. And even to some extent, Connor Lamb, although he is more, Connor Lamb definitely is playing the more of the centrist in the race. But I mean, to me, like, and I've talked with Representative Kenyatta, and he's very impressive to me. And I think he puts together like a very good case. I think his biggest case from my perspective is his sheer momentum in the race. The amount of support that he's been able to gather from all across the Commonwealth, getting the endorsement of SEIU and the Working Families Party. That seems like extremely impressive to me. And something that I'll say that I think complicates this view, or maybe enhances it of him as a as like the progressive in the race is that he did endorse Joe Biden really early in the 2020 election. And I mean, to me, that shows that he is like also an extremely pragmatic politician that like really knows the political landscape.
Yeah.
So that's my perspective.
And like I know what I say right now might like inflame some people, but he also I'm pretty positive in 2016 endorsed Hillary Clinton like decently early in the race and was a surrogate for Clinton in PA. Like I don't judge people on who they endorse. Not saying I have a problem with Clinton or Biden the candidate. I mean I've a couple of things, but he talks that like his what he believes in is pretty for major issues is incredibly clear, specifically climate change. Like we are running out of time. And I don't like it's not going to be helpful to have someone in who is going to take an incredibly incremental approach to something that is literally killing our planet now. Like that's something that he is on the absolute right side of, and not just the right side of it, but also the like he's fervently for it, not just kind of like we can do a couple of things. Like we need to tackle this problem immediately, and that's another reason that I think he's the right candidate for the moment.
I want to revisit sort of your main point that we're still on, I think, Terrain, which is to fulfill Biden's agenda, which is more progressive than I think any progressive expected. We need to replace a Republican vote to me with a vote that will consistently vote with Biden's agenda, right? So if we're just focused on Lamb and Fetterman and Kenyatta,
and I think like 99% of Democrats feel that way, just throwing it out.
Yeah, there. I feel like that's
So what Democrats we need is somebody want to
get Democratic stuff passed.
Right. So we don't necessarily need the most progressive candidate. We need somebody who will vote with the president. Like, how does that differentiate him from Fetterman or Lamb? And sorry, before I should have said this first, I'm literally undecided. I'm not just sort of, trying to bring up other perspectives here. But like, if your argument is we need a solid vote for the Biden's agenda, are Fetterman or Lamb also going to fulfill that role?
I just don't think that's the argument, personally. Like hearing, I think any of the three of them would most of the time vote with Biden's agenda. I honestly have questions about Lamb. Out of the three of them, he's the one that I would question whether or not he would go along with the president. So yeah, I'd
like to hear him disavow Manchin's tactics if he's if he were the nominee. But sorry, Jen, I gotta cut you off.
I mean, I think a lot of what's appealing to me about Malcolm Kenyatta is that, as a person who grew up in poverty and knows what it's like to struggle and knows what it's like to work for minimum wage and be a single mother and, be incarcerated, and, like all of these things that come with poverty. There are having somebody who's actually experienced those things makes a world of difference when it comes to enacting policy, which is, all Biden's agenda is all about helping the poor and working class. Malcolm Kenyatta can actually bring his life experience to that to inform policy, because a lot of times what happens when you have people who have not experienced poverty making policies that affect poverty, they don't understand how it's actually going to play out in practice. They're like, oh, this sounds great on paper. And then whenever it plays out, you're like, oh, well, you're actually making things worse over here, and that's the type of thing that happens when nobody in the room has had the experience of living in poverty or working for minimum wage or, working three jobs to get by. Malcolm Kenyatta brings that to the table. And I think that is his most valuable asset.
Hmm. I hear that, and if we're sort of what is the case for Kenyatta, I think we've sort of two things. Terrain's said, he has like great progressive ideas. You look at his platform, his agenda, and he can bring those bona fides. Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. The policy chops.
The policy chops. And then what Jenna is saying is he can, as a communicator in a good way and a political communicator, and we interviewed him, we should have said that. And that's on our podcast feed, but yeah, he connects his life experience to what he wants to do in office.
Very well. Very well.
And I wanted to circle back something about the political bona fides. SEIU has endorsed him, and my understanding is they rarely endorse at this point. And you know, as a progressive powerhouse and a union that is in the front lines, and I think we actually Lynn W. I think is an SEIU member who's been putting some comments in YouTube, and the other is the Working Families Party has endorsed them. And my understanding, I don't know a lot about Philly politics, is they've been pretty active and pretty strong in Philadelphia. Jenny, you're nodding vigorously. Do you want to throw more?
Oh yeah, the Working Families Party. It is not to be slept on, that's for sure. The Working Families Party is, they are the ones that, the dance parties outside the polling mm-hmm. places, that was all the Working Families Party. The door knocking, they're going to run a massive IE. If you aren't familiar with what the Working Families Party has done in Philadelphia, you can look at what they did in 2019. If you look up Kendra Brooks. So the way that the Philly City Council works is there are a certain number of seats that are always reserved for the minority party. So for like, you know, 70 years or whatever, those seats have been held by Republicans. Well, the Working Families Party put a third party candidate in one of those Republican seats in 2019 and they came this close to taking both of them, which they're now going to come back for. The other one in 23. But yeah, if you have not been following what the Working Families Party has been doing in Philly, they have been putting in some serious, serious work and are looking, you know, now expanding out into other parts of the state as well.
So Lynn's been really active on a couple of comments. She, you know, one thing, Trane, you talked about how passionate he is about climate change. Or climate crisis, or I'm not sure which language he uses. Can you talk about how you became aware of that? Was it something you knew about before he was running for Senate, or you've heard him talk about it, or like why did that?
So he has always like piqued my interest as a candidate. I was excited when he announced his run. And this is just something he has spoken about. This is coming from like literally like. Not just what he speaks about, but I also on his website, which I understand just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true. But I do think that this is something that he's passionate about. That's very important. He's, you know, like we're looking at one of the things that I think is super important. Like he's 31, and I'm not like, this is not bashing anybody that's older. I understand that. I don't think like, you know, it's not like we have a pretty young group of people running for Senate right now, but like, I find when people who are younger and speak about climate change, I think that it carries a little bit more weight just for the sheer fact that like they have to be here as things are crumbling, as we are getting worse storms, as we are getting, you know, like as there are places that are getting rising sea levels. And like, I think that when he speaks about that, I believe him when he says this is a problem that we not only need to fix immediately, but I would like to help fix immediately, because he's going to be here. He's going to be here for it. Just like me. This dude is like, he has, I looked up a little bit about him. His birthday is like a couple of weeks after mine. But almost a year, but like, that's something I find very important. I really don't like when the politicians that we have in office now talk about it as like a we'll get to it kind of thing, or we can't do it because of the monetary restrictions that we have. It's like, no, you don't understand. Like the average age of politicians is we won't be here when this is a real, real problem. And it's already a very big problem. And I find it troubling. And I think that it's important to have people in office that plan to do something about it.
You know, Lynn mentioned the problem is that there's too much money behind fossil fuels and Dems, and Republicans are equally bought and paid for. I think we probably Manchin. All agree with that. Yeah, Manchin. Classic example. You
famously.
Know, I don't know anything, you know, I don't know if he's in particular taking any stances. Like the things that I would look to is like, you know, who's funding his campaign? Is he pledged to sort of only rely on small dollar amounts or whatever? I mean, because of where his he represents a district somewhere in Philly. I'm sorry that I don't know better. I think West Philly, maybe. Is that, do you know, Jenna, is that right?
I believe Malcolm's in North Philly.
Okay. I shouldn't have even opened my mouth. It's Philly. But it's not on top of the Marcellus Shale is kind of where I wanted to go. So he's not going to come in with any kind of being somewhat compromised by that political, you know, like some more rural Democrats are, you know, I don't know where Lamb is on, but his district could overlap with a lot of, I think that area is definitely historically has coal.
Yeah, not being beholden to the fossil fuel industry is a pretty good plus sign for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taylor, were you going to say something?
No.
I think though, coming back to what I was trying to say earlier, like if Kenyatta and his supporters want to convince Democratic primary voters, like in a lot of places I know better, saying like I'm the most progressive, if anything, some people see that as a knock. They want to know how is he going to win.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be clear. I'm not a political strategist. I am not a political spokesperson. So I might not be using language that he's going to be using when he's talking to people. And that's important. That's an important distinction. I'm a guy who likes a candidate and is telling you why I like that candidate. But like if he doesn't go out and say like, I mean, from what I've seen, and I've seen him, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing him speak in person. I've only seen videos. Like he breaks it down into like, you know, specific issues that are affecting like you. Like I feel like it's easy to say like I'm a progressive who thinks that we should have Medicare for all, right? That's something that I can say because I'm not running for something and I don't have to watch my language about that. But he's a candidate saying I think that everybody has the right to healthcare. That's different. Like that's a message that everybody is going to that everyone can relate to, and everyone, you know, there's not going to be a lot of there's not going to be a lot of pushback from that. People deserve the right to healthcare. People deserve the right to more affordable prescription drugs. Like that's the language that's used on the campaign trail. Like I agree that I'm probably saying things that like may not be helpful for him, but I'm saying them in the language that like. That's where I'm at, but I don't think he speaks in the same way that I do.
So as a political strategist, let me just pontificate for a minute. Remember what I said earlier, Democrats cannot win statewide when Black Philly stays home. There is no better way to make sure that Black Philly shows up than to put one of their own at the top of the ballot. Not just anybody's going to do Philly, you know, how territorial people get. And I know Austin Davis is a great candidate. I know he's the chosen one for Josh Shapiro, but Philly isn't going to just turn out for any random Black guy, you know, like, and going back again to the Working Families Party, they're going to run a massive IE in Philadelphia, turning out voters, but they're only going to do that for Malcolm. You know, and let's look at what happened in 2021. Philly stayed home. Everybody lost except for Lori Dumas, who's a Black woman from Philly.
Okay, and so I keep came hearing, on this podcast.
I keep hearing all these people saying that Malcolm can't win because he's Black and he's gay. You're 100% wrong if you think that's the case. I think that both of those things are a huge asset to him, because the racists and the homophobes and the Trumpers, they're going to show up to vote no matter what we do. It doesn't matter who is at the top of that ticket. Those people are going to show up to vote. So we need to put somebody at the top of that ticket who can turn out Black people, who can turn out LGBTQ people, who can turn out young people and new voters. Mm-hmm. Those racists are showing up to vote no matter what. We need to drive up the numbers where our base is, and that is with Black people, people of color, LGBTQ. That's where the Democratic Party's base is. And we can't keep going to those people and asking them to vote for candidates who don't support their interests while telling them that the candidates who do can't win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say something that I am worried about in general is that, like, you know, like, I feel like very much that, like, so Connor Lamb ran this race against Sean Parnell and won in a super tight race, and probably had millions of dollars in oppositional research done on him, and nothing came up. The same thing happened with John Fetterman, and something did come up. Like, we know that. And then, like, I very much feel like we lost a winnable race in the North Carolina Senate race because Cal Cunningham just messed it up entirely. He was not a super well-known politico before then. And I am a little concerned that, like Malcolm Kenyatta, you know, he's in the state house, you know, and that is very impressive, but he has not had this kind of, you know, millions of dollars of opposition research done on him. And like, I am a little nervous about that. And I would be with any candidate, frankly.
I want to play
is that one... a legitimate priority, or am I being paranoid?
I mean, I think Republicans are going to say whatever they're going to say about any candidate. You know, it's and honestly, I'm not too concerned about that opposition research at all, personally.
What are they going to find out? He's gay?
I don't know. I
have done a lot of work in Philly politics. I know a lot of people who work in Philly politics, and the only thing that anybody's been able to come up with is he's Black and he's gay.
I don't think in those terms. I understand the like reasoning to do that. We're Democrats. We're quite scared about a lot of things, including losing elections when literal democracy is online. Like, I get it. But I truly mean, we can't run scared. And I do agree. It would have been helpful if we found out that Cal Cunningham had a weird sexting habit before he was on the ballot. It would be helpful to know those things before. And I imagine that, you know, with Kenyatta polling in like the most recent poll that I saw, like neck and neck with Connor Lamb, there's going to be that information that comes, like there's going to be that oppo research.
More intense group. Yeah.
He's not going to be just let to play in the space without someone trying to figure something out. I imagine that is currently going on. So I'm not too concerned. Obviously, you know, something pops out, then yeah, we have to address that. But I don't think it's in the best interest to operate under the we potentially shouldn't nominate him because what if something comes out?
That's not a specifically good reason not to vote for him. It's just something that I like as a strategist. I'm like, well, you know,
to consider
that.
And I think there are a lot of hardcore primary voters who do think about that, right? I mean, the primary voters are different than the general election voters. I think it's reasonable to bring it up. I don't know enough about his political biography. Did he come into the state house first in an open seat? Or because, I mean, I imagine if he challenged somebody in a Democratic primary in Philadelphia, that there's a lot of sharp elbows thrown in the Philly Democratic political
circles. I don't know that.
Yeah, I don't either. We should have checked.
You know, I'm actually not sure about that either. I'm not sure what year he first got elected. There's usually...
I didn't realize he was that young.
Primaries in Philly are, pretty normal.
He won the Democratic nomination in 2017. I don't know if the person who was there, you don't know if he beat the incumbent or if it was an open seat. I don't know that.
if 2017.
17, it would have had to be a special
election. That would have been a special election, yeah. Or,
sorry, my apologies. He announced in 2017, won in May 2018.
18, okay.
I'm going to share my screen. Yeah,
and I should say, like, the flip side of that is, like, Obama did this leverage, you know, this extremely well, you know, straight from state Senate to Senate, then to White House, and, like, was able to navigate that extremely well and, like, was hyper successful. So, you know,
it's true.
So this was Representative Kenyatta was kind enough to come on to our show and did an interview that we put up. So this is his response to something a topic ago. Let me make sure.
The most.
Could you all hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is him talking about the sort of regionalization and, you know, I think Jenna, you were saying we need to turn out Philly, and then he's talking about the whole state though also. And I thought it was a good moment of him making his own case.
The most effective things that Republicans have been able to do is to get us to not talk to each other. Because every time I've talked to folks who are Democrats, independents, Republicans, maybe not registered and not interested at this point, you hear a similar story every time. And we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked by people who want to hold on to power and want to try to use these distinctions as ways to hold on to power. But Nancy Pelosi says something to the House caucus all the time that I love, and she said it perfectly, so I'll just repeat it. Our diversity is our strength, and our unity is our power. And I see that for Pennsylvania as well.
So I played it not quite at the perfect place, but right before that he said Pennsylvania is the GOP's playbook for using regional politics to divide us. And I don't have a lot of experience in other states, but it certainly seems like we sort of laugh about regional divisions sometimes. And I think that they're a real thing. And at the same time, it gets deeply racialized in Pennsylvania, deeply, deeply. So, you know, if someone's looking for, is he ready to come into this as a candidate for all of Pennsylvania while he's also got this great Philadelphia-based Working Families Party and the Democratic committee there? I mean, he's clearly aware of what his strategy is. I mean, he declared so early for this. He declared in February of 2021. So between that and picking Biden, like, there's a lot to be said for somebody who's, you know, relatively young, but, you know, making some really savvy political choices. And I guess the other thing I would say, I'm sorry, I'm saying too many things, but just what's on my mind. If there are rural Democrats who, like, want to know, can he be independent, right? Like, is he not just going to be like a Philly voice? I would imagine picking Biden as early as he did ruffled some feathers in the progressive world in Philly, right? So those are a few more things about kind of political strategy that stood out for me. Terrain, anything else? You know, like what would you tell somebody who's on the fence? And, you know, if you had a friend who was like, oh, I'm not sure.
I mean, if someone's not sure, I would have them look into him. I would have them watch him speak. I would have someone like, cause I can say whatever I want, but I truly believe that this person is so much more captivating and interesting than I am. And I truly think that he can make his case way better than I would be able to. So I would refer them to him. Cause I think
better than watching it, go to barnstormingpa.org and listen to our interview.
The check's in the mail, Terrain. The check's in the mail.
You gotta get the plug in. You just gotta. And I'll be waiting for when he comes to my podcast as well.
Jenna, do you have any, you're also, you know, a neutral in this. We probably should have said that more clearly.
A little bit neutral. I mean,
a little bit neutral. Or we asked you to be, you know,
I was definitely much more neutral, than I would have been normally. That's okay. That's for sure. I would have had a lot more to say, but well, I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, when you like, I used to work in sales, you know, and so like, it kind of like reminds me of like working in sales. It's like, when you know, you have the best product, like all you have to do is let the customer see it for themselves, right? Like that's the best sales tactic is just having the best thing. And, you know, I completely agree. If you aren't convinced about Malcolm Kenyatta, just listen to him speak. I mean, there are plenty of videos on the internet. You can catch him in the state government committee hearings. You know, I'm sure his campaign has different videos up.
Not a lot, actually.
Oh, really? That's surprising.
No, at least not on their website.
That's surprising. I don't know. Maybe YouTube, maybe their Facebook page, you know, but I that's what I think. I think just listen to him. I mean, if you aren't convinced after listening to him speak, then I'll just say, okay, like that's, you know, like not much else you can do.
Yeah. And I'll chime in here. I'm a neutral too. I'm actually not undecided, but I just feel like after I hear one of them, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm 100% in, you know, and then, you know, I'll hear, you know, I'll just, it depends upon the, ask me, it depends upon the day. So, but anyway, I mean, I think honestly, the best case, that Malcolm can make for his candidacy is like the importance of his background and his ability to connect with working class people, and create unbreakable solidarity in every corner of the state. And I think that, he's absolutely right that, you know, things like, specifically like healthcare, you know, working class kitchen table issues, like that resonates across region and race and every other type of, thing that people use to divide us, you know? I think he, is just in a really effective communicator of that, which is very rare. And so I think that's the best case for him and his momentum. Frankly, he's garnered just an incredible amount of support. And it's cool. Listen to the episode. You can hear for yourself.
I'm going to add this too, which is, and it goes back to something either Terrain or Jenna said, but it's this like people kind of anticipating whether other voters in Pennsylvania, especially rural voters or white voters, would or wouldn't support a black candidate and or a gay man. And recently I was just hanging out with some friends who are liberals in, you know, the rural area. One of them said, oh, well, 9% of the people around here are racist anyway. I was like, no, they're not, right? Like 42%, 44% of our county voted for Biden, and even higher voted. I mean, Obama won Pennsylvania. And, you know, I'm sure we could drill down and there was less of the vote for him in some of the rural areas. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I think sometimes some rural Democrats overestimate the amount of, like, listen, there's a lot of racists and homophobes in rural PA. Like, don't misquote me, but it's not everybody. And the reason this connects to Kenyatta is because having interviewed him and having seen him on video some, he oozes so much like positive energy and so much hope and optimism about people. And like, I honestly didn't really think about comparisons to Obama until very recently with him, because maybe I'm just not very thoughtful. But I think being like Obama, but not talking about Obama, right? Like, will remind people of that kind of politics. And he definitely, he definitely brings that kind of authentic charisma into what he's doing. So, you know, that can do a lot to, it's one of these things, like, if you think he can win, vote for him wherever you are in the Commonwealth. And that's the best indication that he'll be a very competitive, viable candidate. I get very tired of people trying to be strategic voters, anticipate how other voters will vote. Just vote the way you want. Like, if everybody does that, then we know who's the best, like, candidate.
I just point to the last time the Democratic Party thought that a guy with the last name Lamb from Western PA was a shoe-in for the primary? And he got beat by somebody who spent way less money but just happened to be from Philadelphia.
I don't know the story.
I can't remember.
The 2020 Auditor General's race.
Right.
Michael Lamb, Connor's uncle,
cousin? Uncle, I think, yeah.
Nephew? No,
uncle.
Oh. Okay.
Not cousin and not nephew. I've seen him. Unless there's some time travel.
He was one by the Democratic Party. Everybody in the Democratic Party was 100% certain that Michael Lamb was winning the 2020 primary. Nina Ahmad came from behind and ended up taking it strictly by being from the city of Philadelphia.
I want to bring Nina on onto the podcast. I supported her in 2020. I thought she was really impressive. She's up to
yeah, her. I voted for her.
No, you know, what went wrong then with the general and, you know, she ended up losing to a black man, interestingly enough.
First person of color to win to win statewide in PA.
Yeah.
I do wonder how many GOP voters knew that, but.
It's just, yeah.
We can do a postmortem.
Not necessarily always spot on.
So Jenna, I think a postmortem of the Auditor General, the general race for the Auditor General position in Pennsylvania in 2020 is That's so on brand for us. It's so niche on brand. We'd love to do that. I've heard Nina say, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school, that that, you know, she thought that the sort of coordinated effort would do more to pull her across, and it didn't.
That's exactly what happened. There was not much of a coordinated strategy. And there's, you know, yeah, that's a big part of what happened.
Jenna, you do bring up like regional party or regional voting preferences, you know, that just sort of transcend everything, it seems like. In Pennsylvania, we're very regionally based.
People vote for the people who are, you know, people tend to vote for the people who are from their area.
Yeah, and it makes me think that Kenyatta's a shoo-in then, because Lamb and Fetterman are going to completely split the vote in
everywhere else.
Yeah, and then the rest of the rural area, you know. Mm-hmm. NEPA and Erie, they're probably going to, in Harrisburg, they're probably going to be divided pretty evenly. And
that's,
and Kenyatta's going to get a tremendous amount of votes in Philly.
In Philly, but I think not just Philly. I think, you know, he has, and this is all going to be dependent on, you know, how his campaign, he has the potential, he has the charisma. It's going to all come down to how his campaign executes, but I think he can pull just a ton of votes out of Philly, you know, and people forget that there are a ton of black and majority POC communities across Pennsylvania. It's not just Philly and Pittsburgh. You got the Lehigh Valley.
Allentown.
Allentown, Bethlehem. You have Scranton. You have Harrisburg, the city of Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, baby! Right?
You know? Harrisburg. Scranton's not majority people of color.
No, but you have some in
definitely.
But particularly the Lehigh Valley is just growing. Even Lancaster, you know, is a majority minority.
There's also, I know one of the things from 2020, you know, there's some other places that people like Monroe County, which is near Wilkes-Barre Scranton, but on the New Jersey border, its diversity has shifted a lot. I'm not sure if you mentioned York, Reading, Lancaster, yeah, but York, all of those Reading, cities.
Pennsylvania is not as like dark red in the middle as people think. It's very speckled with purple and blue the whole way across.
Don't get me starting talking about choppy purple surf.
Definitely don't have to tell you that.
Of course, you know, if people can go to Malcolm Kenyatta's website and see how to donate or give time or money and see more about him. I do want to say, you know, if anybody's listening or to Terrain or Jenna, like our hope is to do these for as many of the races as we can. It's a little bit of a function of having somebody who feels comfortable being, and Terrain, thank you so much for being the advocate for the candidate. I had one other sort of note, but I'm going to stop there and let Terrain and Jenna and Taylor have the last word.
This was a really fun conversation, and I would love to have this conversation about other candidates if you'd like to. And thank you very much for having me on. And I'm going to go ahead and plug my podcast, because why wouldn't I? Go check out Alcoholitics on anywhere you get your podcasts. And it is a fun time, and you'll enjoy it.
You started to tease the next episode a little bit at the front, but do you want to give us a little?
I'm not going to spoil anything. I 100% think that we're going to just play clips from. We're either going to play clips or just talk about the ads that we are seeing for candidate Oz and candidate Oz and David McCormick. Just because some of them are absolutely wild, and the amount of like ridiculousness and sometimes overt racism that are put into these ads need to be talked about.
But have you seen Jake Corman's ad?
Oh my gosh!
Can I really quickly? I'm so sorry. I know we're over time. Just really, really quickly. That ad makes me so mad because truly, it's set up like it's gonna be fun, and then it's the most boring thing I've ever watched. It makes me so angry.
I was worried that we were running out of over time for you. I mean, Taylor and I'd love to do this. Should we put up the Jake Corman ad?
Can we do that really quickly? It's a 30 second ad. It's a 30 second ad.
Jenna, that ad is awful.
As a lifelong resident of Center County, I am very sad to report that never in my lifetime has there been a situation where there was not a Corman as my state senator. Yes. We had Doyle Corman, Jake's dad, was elected in 1977. My mother was 11 years old. Jake was elected in 97 whenever Doyle retired. So yeah, my whole life.
You're practically in the video.
Yeah, might as well be.
Is it this one called Not Your Average Political Ad?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly.
Spoiler alert, it is your average political ad.
Okay, let me make sure I've got system audio. Okay, we're going to play it. You ready?
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't see it though.
Yeah. Are you playing?
I was. Let me go back. I did not actually share screen, so thank you. Now can you see it?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Jake Corman, the conservative candidate who's taken on Governor Tom Wolf. So my daughter asked if this not be just another boring political commercial.
Thanks, Dad.
So let's do this. I defeated Tom Wolf's record-breaking tax increases.
No new tax increases!
I fought him in court so that we could audit the 2020 election. And I ended his mask mandates for kids in school.
Freedom!
I'm Jake Corman. As governor, I'll put people first. I'm Jake Corman.
Yeah, don't
make it stop. No. Make it stop.
We don't need it twice. We don't need it twice.
Okay. Once Terrain asked me about a controversial opinion and I disappointed him. I think that's a good ad. Sorry.
We are talking about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it because it's trash. Let me be very, very clear. If you're going to say this is not going to be your average boring political ad, maybe don't have the backdrop be like you're in a white void. Like literally the whole of what's going on behind them is a just plain white void. I'm not sure if they don't owe Dr. Pepper some money because that guy is 100% just aping the Dr. Pepper commercials where he's randomly singing high. Get more stuff if it's going to be exciting. I don't know whose idea of exciting, by the way, she is a young woman. I don't think this young woman's idea of exciting is let's get this hair metal band guy from like 1984. Let's get him in here and put him in a white room and he'll pretend to play guitar. That was a bad ad. It was so lazy and boring. It's a boring person's idea of what is exciting. Sorry.
At least get a marching band and fireworks.
That's so his real daughter too, by the way.
Here's why I would say it was a good ad. Okay. Maybe you're right about the void background, but if you said to me, what's a boring political ad, it's always like a montage of landscapes and people and a voiceover and sort of a serious voice intoning.
They like, want give, you to, you know, yeah, give
or,
your
or
money.
That or like the scary, like, you know, this is like, you can see him, you can see his daughter. He clearly, you know, to me, it seems like he's poking fun at himself. I didn't know about the Dr. Pepper thing. So, cause I don't watch enough TV obviously to keep up with you, but like, you know, maybe actually that's going to go over well. So like, if he wants to seem like a dad Republican, who's not like creepy and scary, like in the Republican primary, like I think that probably worked.
He's
and
got the vest on. Check.
Yeah. So like, anyway, like it was hilarious for me. I don't know. I think it's probably going to be effective, but no. You know, nobody. Jordy,
you should do a commercial like that with Thea for borough councilor. put a vest on.
Thea is my daughter. As a
Republican.
Yeah,
I found that ad to be aggressively boring. It to me felt like, and I'm not I'm not a hater. I will say when I think that the other side has a good ad. There's someone running. I can't remember where, not in this state, is running, and they did like a long self-identity MAGA mom ad. And I thought that the ad was amazing. Like the way they introduced themselves to the voters was fantastic. They had all of their family in it. She was very active. She was moving around. Her entire family pointed weapons at something. It was fun. that's what happened. But I think that it was, I thought that was a really good ad. This one is what's that?
What would you give it?
I would give it an A. If that person were running in an area that I cared, I'm not saying I don't care about this place, but I don't remember where she's running, so I clearly don't care enough about it. But like, if I was seeing like her running in an area that like I'd be scared. That ad was very good, and it was a very good introduction of that person to the electorate. I thought it was really, really good. This one was
Jordy. Trash. Would you give it an F or a D or?
Me this ad
Terrain, yeah, this
the Terrain obviously gives it
I would give this an I for incomplete. Put more stuff in the ad.
There was a lot of confetti. I would give it like a B minus or something. Listen, I didn't mean to say it was a great
I think
ad.
You had I think you had your absolutely not Jordy. You were when you started this, I think
I'm gonna say
the words you used was The words you used was, I think this is a good ad.
Okay. It's good. It's a B. I was going to get a B or a B minus. I mean, listen, when I grade, a B is good. I'm not doing like A or nothing, you know, is good. Not excellent.
Maybe
good.
This commercial just is only appealing to white men. To dads. Like Gen X and Boomer white men. Maybe that's who
I feel doing. Seen in a way I didn't want to be like, seen.
What the fuck?
I do wonder if it would come. Let's say he won the primary, if it would come back to bite him as being too amateur and hokey.
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but I think that Jake Corman as the Republican candidate would be like God's gift to Josh Shapiro wrapped in a bow. Jake Corman is not going to beat Josh Shapiro. I as somebody who has been a constituent of Corman my entire life, that man, he's Silver Spoon Jake. I mean, like, mm-hmm. He has had everything handed to him. And there's nothing that Republican, you know, the Trump voters hate more than a dynasty.
Well, I don't think he's going to win, to be honest.
I don't think he's going to win the primary. I think Los Granados going to win the primary. But I think if he did win the primary, it would be great for us.
Listen,
for a hike out west end of the county, you know, into sort of more of the country. And I saw like several huge Duck Mastriano placards. And I was like, damn.
I mean, I can't remember why I thought of this exactly, but just Jenny, you're talking about like the political, you know, the political, the like
Jenna, what do you,
political lottery. What do you grade
Wait, what?
What's your grade for the ad?
Grade for the ad, definitely. I'm gonna give it a D minus. It clearly didn't fail completely because Jordy thought it was good.
Jordy loves it. I think that I'm God's gift to Terrain's comedy career wrapped in a bow.
I'm gonna start doing stand up, and I'm only gonna talk about how much you love that ad.
You guys see that Jay Corbin ad? So my friend Jordy.
No, I was gonna say, sort of the like horrible lottery of you know, of who we inherit living in these rural areas for a representative. So the thing that let's see, actually Taylor and I both, yeah, are going to be swapping David Rowe for Stephanie Borowitz. So I'm not sure if people don't know, Stephanie Borowitz is like, yeah, like, does she make David Rowe look reasonable? You have to know how unbelievably awful both of these people. It's not just that I disagree with their politics. David Rowe is literally a mean person. Like recently he took a postcard that a constituent had sent him and put it on his Facebook page, his official Facebook page. He called it Fan Mail Friday or Hate Mail Friday, and was like mocking this person's career and what they had said to him. And it's like, I mean, he sort of made Trump seem classy, almost, not me, but it, unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I, you know, that seems like swapping out one shit sandwich for another one.
Yeah, Stephanie, she represents part of Center County currently. And yeah, watching her get elected was fun because a lot of the Democrats were very sure she was not going to win.
Is she more like Marjorie Taylor Greene or who's the other one in Congress?
Hubert?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'm not even sure I know enough levels of Dante, you know, struggles of hell to differentiate those two.
She
knocked on my friend's door. So my friend is actually was a registered Republican. Whenever she was running in 2018, she knocked on her door, and basically the only thing of substance she had to offer was that, you know, we needed to get God back in schools, mm-hmm. and protect our precious, gun rights and God and guns. And that was the only thing she had to say. And
my friend, Sharia law.
My friend who, you know, is a moderate, mostly reasonable person who is just somehow still a Republican, was kind of like took her to task and was like, do you really have you have nothing of like policy substance, like nothing, like this is what you're bringing to my door, like what, God and guns, like you came to my door with that?
Sounds to me like she supports Sharia law. more God in school. more guns to wage the jihad.
It was a closer election than it should have been, really. When she ran the first time,
when she and this is like, I'm doing like, sometimes I don't know specifics, so I'm like out here doing like outside, mm-hmm. just a little bit of research while I listened to y'all talk, and I saw that like I think did she lost her first race, but then won and then won bigger in the most recent. Is that correct?
The first time she ran, it was against Mike Hanna Sr. He was a Democrat who had been in that seat for years. The district over the time got more and more red. And I'm pretty sure in 2016, whenever she ran the first time, mm-hmm. that district went to Trump like 60-70% went to Trump. But Mike Hanna Sr. still won because he's kind of like the pet Democrat, you know, they're like, yeah, he's a Democrat, but we've known him forever. And so we're going to keep voting for Mike.
It was like Tim Holden. It was like Tim Holden's district before they redrew it.
In 2018, Mike Hanna Jr. ran for the seat. And there was kind of like, she accused them of like, trying to be shady and make it look like Senior was running again because they didn't put Junior on any of the yard signs and they just used the same yard sign that Senior had been using forever. And she got stickers that said government
sounds fiscally responsible
business. And she took to social media, and then Hannah Jr. went like very, very negative in a lot of ads, and it just really backfired in his face. And he had like worked for Tom Wolf and stuff. So basically she painted him as the, you know, nepotist that he kind of was. Then she won in 2020. Yeah. I mean, I don't think a Democrat's ever winning that seat again, at least not for a very long time.
Well, now,
should we aim to wrap up now?
Yeah, we should probably do that.
Sure, yeah. I'd love to plug my podcast a third time for sure.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, Tareen, what you got going?
Check out Alcoholitics wherever you get your podcast. It's a fun podcast where we have some drinks and chit chat about politics and sometimes Netflix reality shows.
Support your local podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a much better t-shirt than the one we had before.
Right, it says support your local podcast, and then it has the QAnon shaman's head on a mat. Right?
No.
No. Okay. All right. Never mind.
we do have some other. We have another t-shirt that's going to come out that we asked a designer to take a classic hex sign. You know, you would have on a barn. There's a traditional one that has two unicorns, and she swapped it out for donkeys in the same style, and this is elect Democrats. So we're expecting that to go big with the Gen X and baby boomer Democrats and rural PA, you know. But that's one of our better ideas, right, Taylor?
Heck, I want as a tote bag carried into the grocery store.
Jenna, anything you want to plug? TV shows, books, movies, music?
Other than the fact that the Republicans are currently trying to take a blowtorch to the Pennsylvania Constitution, and we need you to not let them do that. So, if you're listening to this and you particularly you live in a district with a Republican legislator, please call them, tell them to, you know, stop trying to legislate by constitutional amendment, and follow Better PA on Facebook and Twitter. We're going to have some more calls to action and lobby day and that kind of stuff coming up very soon. We are still kind of in the planning phase there, but stay tuned for more info on how to save the PA Constitution.
When you do your lobby day, do you think you'll also organizations I know that have, you know, like membership chapters, or they have teams that are used to that, like maybe like I don't know if you guys have your own constituent, like you don't necessarily have chapters around the Commonwealth, do you?
Well, no, but we have a lot of organizations that we partner with.
That's what I was trying to say.
And so we don't necessarily have a base, but we have resources to help other organizations get, you know, the message out to their bases and to bring their bases in. And we're even considering some options of like, you know, not everybody feels safe to go into the Capitol building, and kind of exploring how we can navigate that and maybe have some like, you know, maybe we have some iPads and a person on Zoom, and we can, you know, hand it to the legislator and have people speak to their legislators that way. We're still working out on all the details and kind of trying to iron out exactly how something like that would work. Like, we aren't 100% sure what is possible there, but like I said, stay tuned. We will know more about all of that very soon.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for, you could have been watching some fantastic Netflix reality show, but both our viewers and especially Tareen and Jenna for sharing all your knowledge and humor and graciousness. So thanks, everybody.
Travel, ever had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Belfont, Southmont, Westmont, Womelsdorf, Nordmont, Dormont, Lebanon, Hummelsdorf, Cedar Springs, Bowling Springs, Chess Springs, Centerbridge, Centersport, Leesport, Williamsport, Brackenridge, Lumber City, Central City, Lake City, Clearfield, Westfield, Winfield, Richfield, big deal. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valley, fair, man. I be the mountain air, man.
travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. Woo! I've been to Beachland, Wilpon, Tunnelton, Conestoga, Bakerton, Curry Run, Smoke Run, Sanatoga, Slickville, Smithville, Flicksville, Max Tony, Youngwood, Edgewood, Hopwood, Punks, Tony, Whitehall, Blue Ball, Center Hall, North Apollo, Delano, Renovo, Laredo, let's go. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valley, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Been to Stump Creek, Pence Creek, Pine Creek, Chambersburg, Middle Creek, Blakeslee, Falls Creek, Shepherdsburg, Johnstown, Allentown, Shepherdstown, Lords Valley, Daisytown, Doylestown, Downingtown, Cherry Valley, Plain Grove, Mill Grove, Mechanics Grove, Swiss Vale, Ferndale, Carbondale, Monongahela. Oh well, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valley, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. Oh, I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I cross the valley, spare man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share.